You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Welcome back to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Friends, I am sitting down with a new friend of mine. Her name is Tara Rodas, and she is a federal employee who blew the whistle on grievous crimes going on with unaccompanied children at the border. In fact, she gave testimony before the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Immigration, Integrity, Security, and Enforcement, and has been touring through different podcasts and news outlets, giving her observations on what's going wrong and how this is child trafficking. Tara, welcome to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Dan, thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be on your show. It was such an honor to meet you in person. And I really appreciate, you know, that you're shining a light on what we now know is government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking. I really appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you. And we had the opportunity to meet at the America's Future conference that was recently held in Ohio. It was just such a pleasure to meet all of the frontline warriors that are raising awareness, combating child trafficking, human trafficking, and taking a stand. And I really appreciate the bravery that it takes for someone like you who really, I mean, you didn't come into this conversation intentionally. You came in unintentionally and were basically mantled with knowledge and information and observation. And you decided, I will not sit silent. I will take action, because I think you have the heart of Jesus on this stuff, and you were compelled. And so we want to talk about that. I want to let you talk about the border. I want to let you talk to us about all of the stuff that is going sideways, that is wrong, that you've observed. And I want to get started on this conversation by letting you tell us how God maneuvered you into this position.
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting story. Your listeners may know that at the beginning of 2021, the Biden-Harris administration put out an all call to all federal agencies. And they said, we have a crisis at the southern border, and we need agencies to donate their employees to help with this particular mission. And that mission was the Unaccompanied Children Program, which is part of the Department of Health and Human Services. It's part of Office of Refugee Resettlement. And they said, this is a family reunification program, and we are going to be putting children, these unaccompanied children, which are children who appear alone. I mean, they come alone to our border. And they said, what you're going to be doing is help placing those children with their families here in the United States. And I thought, here I am, send me. That's a mission I can get behind, right? Vulnerable children. We know that Jesus loves the children, right? And his plan is that children be in their families. And so I thought, you know, no matter what side of politics people are on, this isn't a political issue. This is a humanitarian issue. This is a God issue. This is the, you know, the kingdom of God should mobilize together. We should work to get these children with their families. Mm-hmm. So I thought that I was going to be going somewhere on the border, because we all knew we were mobilizing to Texas and then being sent out from there. And I thought I was going to be coloring, doing puzzles, playing games with kids. That's what I thought.
I mean, it sounds like a really great job.
Yeah.
For someone that loves children and loves to help. So the unfortunate problem was that's not at all what you ended up doing.
No. And so what might also be important for your listeners to know is that I'm not from El Salvador. My husband is from El Salvador. Mm-hmm. So I speak Spanish. And so that was part of the reason I was chosen to go on this mission, is because I am a Spanish speaker. And so they needed people who could interact with the children and help them feel safe until they were reunited with their families. And so again, that's what I thought I was going to be doing, is just sitting there talking to kids and playing games. And what we discovered just a few weeks in working in case management was that the ID that the sponsor, which is the person who is going to be taking responsibility once the U.S. government releases custody of the child to the person in the U.S., which is their sponsor, we were getting like different stories from the sponsors and the children. The children were saying, well, actually, I've never met the person. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean you've never met the person? I thought this was family reunification, right? And we're finding that the sponsors couldn't tell like important details about the kids. So it was clear they didn't know each other. And then they were sending IDs that didn't match the information that they sent on the paperwork. So the ID has one address, and they were mainly consular IDs. So one of the things I didn't realize is that most sponsors don't have legal presence, which makes it impossible to do vetting because we're HHS was not law enforcement. So wow. I'm like, wait a second, we don't know the backgrounds of these people, and they're giving us fishy stories. Like, wait a minute, and we're going to give the kids to them? And then I realize we don't ever even see the sponsor in person or see the house where the kid is going.
What?
We're having, yeah, it's through phone conversations, and the case managers get photographs. They say, okay, Mr. Sponsor, Dan, would you please send us a photo of your ID and then fill out the paperwork, send us that, and then we're going to make arrangements to deliver the child to you. And I was like, that's very bizarre. What do you mean we don't ever see these people? How do we know they are who they say they are? They could be anybody. And so as we started looking into this, things just didn't make sense.
And can we just pause right there in this storyline? Because I want you to tell me, how do the children that you were processing get to the border? How were they arriving?
Yeah. So if you know anything about smuggling and trafficking, they're two different things. So smugglers move people from point A to B, which is about the only way that you get across Mexico is with a smuggler. They call them coyotes or coyotes. Then there are the traffickers, and traffickers use force, fraud, or coercion to lure. So we discovered from the testimony of the children, for example, there would be a trafficker here from their home country. So this happened a lot with Guatemala. A majority of the children are coming from Guatemala. If anybody has been watching this story, they'll see that the attorney general for Guatemala has reached out to Texas and been like, hey, where are all of our kids? We're getting these horrific stories coming back that terrible things are happening to our children. So what would happen is a Guatemalan national here in the U.S. tells children back in Guatemala. And sadly, many of these children, they're extremely vulnerable. They're indigenous and they don't speak Spanish. So they have never been out of their villages. They can't read. Many of them can't read, can't write. They're extremely vulnerable. They speak Mayan dialects. So they will speak Quiche, Quechi, Mam. They don't speak Spanish, which makes them additionally vulnerable. So they may only be making $2.50 a day in their home country a day. And the trafficker here says, you're special. I'm going to pay the journey. Now you're going to have to work it off. You're going to have to pay me back. But I'm going to pay you $6 an hour when you get to the United States. And those kids may not have been to school, but they're like, $2.50 a day. And he's not saying $6 a day, which would be more than double. He's saying $6 an hour. The children believe they're going to be Elon Musk rich. That's just one example of what many kids said. And so they are in what's called debt bondage. They have to pay back that debt in order to get their freedom. But sadly, in many cases, the children never get free until they call law enforcement. There's a story that's on YouTube for free. It's called Trafficked in America. And this is about the trafficking case of Guatemalan teens back from 2014. This is important for people to know. 2014, they had incidents of trafficking of the children in this program. And you can see how the children lived in horrible, horrible squalor in a trailer with no running water. They had no toilet. They had a bucket. It was just deplorable, working them 12, 14 hours a day in these horrible conditions on an egg farm in Marion, Ohio. And it was just, it's chilling. And it wasn't until someone, one of the children was able to call someone and get the police on the line and they were able to come rescue the kids. I mean, it's a really, that story shows exactly how the children are lured. And that's that trafficking, right? That force, fraud, or coercion. And then the children, once they're here, who do they know, right? How are they going to get free?
So essentially what you witnessed was children who were lured by some promise, but then smuggled to the border and dropped off.
To the border, yeah. So the smugglers deliver them directly to the border. And they're like, turn yourselves into those guys right there. Our fine border patrol takes them into custody and they then process them. So they will try to get their information. But most importantly, what they want to know at the border is, who is your U.S. point of contact? So if you've seen any of the photos of the children that they show at the border, Lieutenant Olivares, he's got tons of pictures of these children and they're holding up little pieces of paper that have names and a phone number. Sometimes numbers are sharpied on the bodies of the children. They're pinned to their clothes. That U.S. point of contact is written down. And then DHS, so our fine Border Patrol, turns the children over and the custody of the children to HHS, so Health and Human Services. So that's to us. We then take them into our custody at HHS.
Yes.
And we take that U.S. point of contact and call them. Say, hey, are you expecting anyone? And of course, they're expecting children. Sometimes they would give us multiple names. Sometimes they'd be like, hey, yes, I'm expecting Juana Benitez. No, could it be somebody else? Oh, is it Daniela Alvarez? No. So sometimes they would even say multiple names because they were expecting so many kids.
I'm so glad that you're saying this because, right, when you say it, it makes no sense. It's like, who thought up this? I mean, because someone was paid to think through this problem. And you know, if they were in a university and it's like, solve this problem, and they were actually accountable to a real professor that wanted a good answer, F, right? Because the whole answer, it sounds like a total failure of liberty and human rights. It sounds like an intentional effort to traffic these children and ensure that the traffickers that are really not even putting that good of a plan together get away with it.
Yeah. And they do, sadly.
I want to ask you, did you ever figure out who got paid to come up with this stupid plan? I mean, this is awful.
Well, there's some people in Washington, D.C. who've come up with this plan, which is stunning to me because any project manager worth their salt, anyone. I teach project management for the government I have for years.
Come on.
Knows that the greater the risk, the greater the controls you have to have on a program. So the greater the risk, the more controls. And what could be a greater risk than the life of a child? You would need multiple controls that I would think at least would include DNA testing, which is easy to do, little swab. They can figure that out. But no, they don't do that. You would think they would want to know, does this sponsor have legal presence? If they don't have legal presence, how can the purpose of being a sponsor is to take the child through their immigration process so that if the child is entitled to immigration legal relief to stay here in the country, that's the purpose of being a sponsor. And so if someone's here illegally and haven't been through the process themselves, how qualified are they to guide the child through the legal process? That doesn't really make sense, right? So again, they get an F. The other thing is why would the sponsor not be accountable later? Once the child is released from HHS custody, once we drop them off by transportation, so we then turn them over to transportation, who then delivers them by trains, planes, automobiles to baggage claim in airports, or sometimes parking lots of, say, a Walmart, a Target. They just take busloads of kids and say, hey, we're going to Chicago. And they call all the sponsors and say, hey, meet us and pick up the kids here. It's not even, honestly, if I hadn't seen this myself, I don't think I could believe it because, well, that makes no sense. Makes no sense. How is it that we are not even verifying the person on the phone that that's really them with the ID? How do we know that? How do we know that? We're not even supposed to be checking if this person has sponsored multiple kids before. They're trying to put rules in where the case manager can't even ask. They wouldn't be able to say, so Dan, how many kids do you have? Have you sponsored so far? Oh, interesting.
I mean, let's say one of these kids was turned over to a pedophile. You wouldn't know if they were being turned over to a pedophile because there's no actual investigation on who these sponsors are. And then since there's no follow-up, if these children are then turned over and organ harvested, if they cut them open on a wooden board, God forbid, but this is happening.
Say that.
You wouldn't even have an ability to put accountability on what these children are going to experience with evil people that may be getting possession of them.
Yes. And what I can tell you is that the DHS whistleblower, Aaron Stevenson, he came forward in 2021 to say, we're giving the children to known gang members on the transnational organized crime watch list. So that's the TOC, the transnational organized crime watch list. Known gang members. And remember, I said my husband is from El Salvador. When I saw his disclosure in the news, we were still sitting on the Pomona Fairplex processing kids. We had been reporting cases coast to coast, California to Florida, all over the country of suspected trafficking, all over Texas, where you are, in multiple cities. I mean, I just had no idea what I was walking into at all. Yes. But when I saw Aaron's disclosure in August, and he shows on the screen an 18th Street gang member, and it says, you know, known for sex trafficking, gun trafficking, you know, all these different things. And my husband's from El Salvador. I thought, we're giving children to known gang members. And that was a whole nother revelation of how evil people can be and what they will do for money because they try to cover it up. And it's really sad. It's evil is what it is. It's not just sad. It is sad. It's terribly, terribly sad. This was a horrible revelation and a terrible darkness to have to look into. And if it wasn't for God, I think I'd probably need a straitjacket. But to know that God had put me there for a reason, that the person he put working next to me was also a Christian, that he was going to walk with me every step of the way. And I firmly believe like there's a difference to know something here and to know something here. If somebody would have said, would God be with you and walk you through hard times? Of course. I mean, everybody's going to say yes. But when you've got to put him to the test, when you have to say, God, you said, Isaiah 41, do not fear. I will be with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm going to help you. When I had to say it every day, God, you said, I'm going to believe you. You've got to help me because there's no way this is going to happen if you do not If you do not do this, this is not going to happen. I promise you, I'm going to speak out on behalf of the kids, but you've got to somehow make it happen. I knew the day they walked me off the site, and I told people that. I said, the day they walked me off the site, it's because I'm telling the truth about child trafficking. And people were like, but, you know, maybe you could just be quiet. Maybe you could just not say. Maybe, you know, maybe you could just play along. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to stand before Jesus on the last day and tell him I knew his children were being abused and did nothing.
What you're saying is so powerful. And it's really hard to hear that there would be anybody that would dissuade. But the whole system is upheld by people that play the party line.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you this question. What was the straw that broke the camel's back? Like, you've shared a lot of pieces of this that you were observing, things that you were becoming aware of. But what was the straw that broke the camel's back that set you on a path that eventually took you before Congress?
Yeah.
To whistleblow on these matters.
Yeah. Two things. Seeing the children suffer. If you've ever heard, I've heard children cry in my lifetime, but I've never heard children wail in distress until Pomona, California. And I've heard children screaming, inconsolable for their parents. And there were children who wanted to go home, and the United States government won't send them home. Once they're here, they're at the mercy of the federal government. And that was just evil. So seeing the children suffer, I mean, there were kids who had to be on suicide watch, who had to go in the psych ward. I've seen children have panic attacks. I mean, just flat out freak out. And we were not supposed to at any time ever touch the children, ever. Not allowed to touch them. And these poor kids, you know, some of them, especially the littler ones, you know, they just so badly wanted to hug. Like, if you're walking them to the lunch line, you know, they're just kind of bumping into you. We were allowed to let them hold on to a sleeve, but we could never hold their hands or anything like that. And I remember one time this girl just flipping out, and she was so distraught, like in full like panic and stress. And I remember I reached over and I'm like, honey, it's going to be okay. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to get fired. Like, cause I touched her to try to calm her down, you know, just, I mean, I put my hand on her hand, you know, her friends were come running. But I put my hand on her hand to try to just, you know, calm her down. And then I thought, I'm going to get fired. And I thought, you know, Jesus would take this girl in his arms and just hold her and comfort her. And I wasn't even allowed to, you know, to try to comfort the child. And that was the thing that was one of the most challenging things, was to see children suffering. And then the second thing was to see the willful, knowing evil on behalf of a government that I've served my entire adult career. And to hear my supervisor actually told me, when I went to her with a trafficking case, she said, Tara, we only get sued if we keep kids in care too long. We don't get sued by traffickers. Are you clear? We don't get sued by traffickers. And that was the United States federal government position of my boss, who was the director of the federal case management team, to see that they knew and that they just did not care. And then the whole MS-13 case, of course, they tried everything they do to cover that up. They did not want the American people to know that with American taxpayer dollars, we're taking vulnerable children from the border and turning them over to known criminal actors. They didn't want people to know that. So they, within 2 weeks less than of me reporting the case, I was off the case. They delete the child from the system 2 days later, and then they walk me off the site under threat of investigation and take my badge. Yeah. And they did that in front of others so that people would see. Yeah. with security.
They made a big show out of it. Mm-hmm. They made a show.
Yeah, made a big show.
Intimidation tactic.
Yes. So they're like, oh, you think you want to talk about child trafficking? You want to talk about what's going on with these kids? Well, you're going to end up just like Tara, which is marched off this site and your career down the drain. Yeah.
So what did God do? They marched you off the site and you did testify before Congress. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yes, because what God calls you to do, he's going to equip you for.
Mm.
And he will guard and protect in ways that you could just never imagine. So fortunately, prior to them walking me off the site, I had been talking to various people in fairly high positions of authority mm-hmm. within legal pathways, right? Because there are lots of legal pathways for whistleblowers.
Yes.
You can go to the Office of Inspector General.
Yes.
You can go to law enforcement.
Yes.
You can go to Congress.
Yes.
You can go to various federal avenues, Office of Special Counsel. And I happen to know some good investigators who worked in various positions in the federal government. And I was getting advice from them. Okay, here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm doing. They're like, document, 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 document. So I was doing that.
Mm-hmm,
so when they walked me off the site, even though like my heart was racing, I thought I was going to pass out. I mean, I've never been so scared. Like when security comes to get you, you know, I mean, I knew the day was coming. I thought maybe they wouldn't do it
mm-hmm.
only because I don't know. I just didn't think they would be that evil to cover something up.
Wow.
My office, fortunately, they said, wait a second. So let's get this straight. We loan you mm-hmm. to their agency because they have a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We give them help. And then you discover that their system is being defrauded, that children are being trafficked,
mm-hmm.
and that gang members are now exploiting their system.
Why?
And instead of protecting the kids, they walk you off the site. Yeah, that's kind of what happened.
Wow.
And they were like, okay, you sit tight. I'm going to call you back. So these were very high level people.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me back and said, okay, here's the thing. We're recalling you to DC right now. There's going to be no investigation. This is ridiculous because that was all just cover. Would you like us to send armed agents to escort you home? So see, this is where God had prepared the way in advance, but yes. at the same time, he never let me feel the full fear that I probably should have been feeling, which is I'm in Los Angeles where MS-13 and 18th Street began. It's very hot for the gangs there. I don't know who knows that I'm investigating or have put forward to all these different avenues, this mm-hmm. case. My office has no idea how far they're going to go to retaliate against me. And I'm just like, well, my husband's on the way. So thanks. But I turned down the escort to come home.
Yeah.
So they saw the danger, but I was just like, well, whatever God's will is, you know, God's will is. And so I got back home, you know, got debriefed, recorded interviews, which I'm very thankful for now because nobody can ever dispute my testimony.
Yes.
What I'm saying now is exactly mm-hmm. what I said then. Kids mm-hmm. are being trafficked and the federal government knows and does not care because all they care about is move those kids. Their goal was in 10 to 14 days, as soon as that child hit our center,
mm-hmm.
we were supposed to be on the phone with that U.S. point of contact that child gave, get the paperwork done, not investigate the sponsor, get that paperwork done so that we could get that child on a plane or a bus to the sponsor. And we delivered and we paid for it, your federal dollars. End to end, we paid the transportation the entire way of that child. So from pickup to delivery, FedEx of children paid for with federal dollars.
I just want to say this for every listener that's infuriated at what you're hearing. Good. It means you still have your humanity. I mean, this is so.
Please pray for these children. The stories that we've heard. I mean, stories that are going on right now.
Tell me about some of those stories. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the hard stuff.
So children
get trafficked with our federal dollars. And then you hear about what happens to them at times.
Yeah. So for anyone who saw, you can go back and watch the very first stories that dropped on this. And when they started knocking on the doors, the children were saying, a girl, she's 16 years old, Houston, Texas. She said, I'm being pimped by my sponsor. She tells me she's my aunt, but I've never met her. And she's pimping me out for sex in the house where I'm living. This is what the children are saying. This is not what I'm saying.
My.
This is what the children are telling people when they show up to knock on the door. And the question is, why is it that investigators can go get the children, but the federal government can't go retrieve the children? Why is that? So that's a question everybody needs to ask. When somebody wants to find the children, they can find the kids. Sadly, they're not in good conditions, right? Another girl, she was out of Texas, and she came because she wanted to go to school. She's 15, but she had to quit school because she had to pay her debt to the cartel. So she works overnight shift as a dishwasher. So you have to ask, like, what is the future going to be like for these children who've come here to be pimped out, to be put into forced labor situations? How is this helping? How is this helping young girls? And it's not just girls. They're doing this with boys as well. I mean, some of these children have died on the jobs here. The children are being put to work. There's a disavow the New York Times, but there's an incredible reporter. She actually has earned a Pulitzer Prize for her reporting. Her name is Hannah Dreyer at the New York Times. And she has gone across the whole country and interviewed children who are in these forced labor conditions.
Okay.
And the stories are horrific. They're horrific. I mean, some of the children get pulled into the machinery that they're working on. The one little boy from my state in Virginia, he's fortunately somebody, by the grace of God, got the machine turned off, and he only got pulled in up to his arm. So he's maimed for life, a child maimed for life, because he's working around chicken, you know, in a chicken deboning plant, and he gets pulled into the machine because he doesn't know how these things operate. There's a whole expose called Slaughterhouse Children. They found children working in slaughterhouses all across the country, overnight shifts, middle schoolers, like 12 years old with chemical burns.
Wow.
This is evil. This is evil. Yeah.
And we're praying for it.
Please, we have to pray for the children and pray for that the people who have them will have mercy on these children. And will either let them go.
Recently, you know, and I think under pressure to do something, Joe Biden made a move to do something for the border. I honestly haven't even fully looked into what he did. I heard a few comments about it, and it was just like major eye roll, slap in the face. What the heck? But I want to let you talk a little bit about that, if you have done any investigating into what that particular move means or is going to mean, and
not
the
gonna
direction,
help the children, I can tell you that.
And the direction that you see the current administration moving, even in response to your testimony at Congress.
Well, I have to say that I believed when I went before the House that the world was going to stop. And that HHS was going to be forced to turn over the data of the children because they know where they are or where they're supposed to be. They know the name and the address of the person that they released the child to. They know that. But they won't even give that information over to the states. So in my state of Virginia, there's a little town about an hour from me called Culpeper. They, meaning HHS, released 38 children there. 22 are gone. Our attorney general has called HHS. The attorney general's wrote a letter to HHS saying, please give us the information. We'll go look for the kids. they won't give them the data. They won't turn
What?
over the information. They won't even help find the children because they value their program and the billions of dollars it generates. By the way, it's last year was $6.3 billion paid.
How does it generate this amount of money? Help me understand. Okay.
So the federal government takes your tax dollars
yes.
and gives it to contractors and NGOs.
Yes.
So contractors and NGOs are getting rich off of this scheme of moving the children. So it's moving widgets through this program, which is how they view it. And they get paid per child or for contract period. So for example, I was at Pomona and the contract for a 6-month period was a little over $700 million. So that means the contractor was getting over $100 million a month. So what incentive is there for the contractor to say, you know what, I think bad people are exploiting the system. I think we need to shut this down. They're not going to say that because they care about the money.
Wow.
It's a lot of money, a lot of money. And that's a serious indictment on where people put their value. Is
wow.
they value the money over the kids.
So coming back to your testimony before Congress, right? The world didn't stop.
No, the world did not stop and nothing changed. As a matter of fact, instead of HHS saying, oh my goodness, we better check into this, they instead decided to create a rule change to make it easier to traffic the children and silence whistleblowers. So that's what they did, which is the fight that Senator Grassley and several other senators have taken up, which is to try to prevent them from circumventing Congress, which is what they're doing right now, to make it easier to traffic children. And some of the senators are saying, okay, the House didn't pull this off the first time around. Let's see if we can get the Senate to stop HHS from trafficking kids. So that's what they're trying to do.
Goodness gracious. So they doubled down.
They doubled down and they created a position. So some people could say, well, maybe they were doing this because they thought it would help. Maybe. But then why did they create a new position called a unification specialist? Not reunification. So key word.
Yes.
Unification, which means you're giving a child to someone who they've never been with before.
I need a special person to unify children with gang members and traffickers so we can make money.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the closest to darkness. I think when we had the chance to talk about it, I told you, like, I had never really felt that close to darkness before. But I knew that what I was dealing with was another level of evil. That's all I can say. There's not another word that I can use to describe it. I knew that I was dealing with evil. Yeah.
So we move past testimony before Congress. Now you have put this information in front of the highest level of legislation, right, in the United States, and nothing changes. And now you just have to figure out what you're going to do with your life. I praise God you decided to not stop talking about it.
And then I get to meet great people like you with ministries who will pray for the kids, because it's interesting. 3 years into the fight, I'm very thankful and grateful that God guided me, you know, when, because in the beginning it was me and Aaron Stevenson kind of out there. And then there was Carlos Arellano, who worked on the what was called a transportation specialist. So he actually delivered the children, and the children were telling him, please don't make me go there. I don't want to go there. I don't know this person. I want to go home. And of course, the U.S. government won't send the children home, which is wicked. That's wicked. You have a child that by some way, force, fraud, or coercion gets to our border and then we won't send them home? I mean, that's just, it's unthinkable, really. It's unthinkable. So then it's me and it's Aaron and it's Carlos. And then after Sound of Freedom came out, right, Deb and Myra joined the fight. And here all five of us, you know, are trying to tell the story about the kids. And then America's Future finds us. And they actually did a video. It's called Yes. Where Did the Children Go? It's on Rumble on their site. It's called, if you put in Where Did the Children Go? And it's had a little over 1 million views. And so people are starting to see what's happening. And slowly, but surely, God is starting to collect and pull together people to be Yes. a voice, you know, for the kids. And it's him doing it. Just before I got on this call with you, I was talking to my great friend, Deb. And, you know, we're like, God is going to be the one who's going to rescue these children. We just have to keep, we just keep telling the story, and God's going to do it.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, there has to be a lot of noise in the natural and the spirit for some of Yes. these systems and structures to move. I know that for us, you know, God had me plant a local church here in Katy, Texas. And then I began to realize I am in the middle of a cesspool of trafficking. Like, there is trafficking throughout Houston, a major hub in Houston and Katy,
yes, it
Texas.
Is.
And it's not going to be observable to the casual onlooker. Like, you just walk through the neighborhood or drive major roads. You're not really going to see, oh, this is clearly a traffic, but it is here. And I really have felt a responsibility, like, to begin going after it in the spirit with intercession. You know, our church, we have worship nights at this point, and part of those worship nights is territorial intercession, repentance, but we are calling for heaven and the hosts of heaven, the angels of the Lord, to move on behalf of the injustice, the grievous injustice that is happening all around us, even though it's not necessarily in your face if you are not in that world. And there needs to be, I think, a move of responsibility, like, where those that are following Jesus Christ, those that are leading believers, you know, and this is something that blows my mind, Tara, is, yeah, I've been trying to figure out how you have some of these cities, right, with mega churches, 30, 40,000 people that are connected to these churches and ministries, and there's almost no conversation about human trafficking. Like, it's not the people of God are not championing for the righteous cause that is so necessary. It's like, you know, okay, yeah, we could do five steps to, like, a better attitude, or maybe we could just go into deep prayer and intercession because people are dying due to injustice that is, you know, in endemic to governmental structures. We need to take that on as an assignment. So that's where I'm at. I'm like, that's on my heart. It's like, we got to take this stuff on in the spirit so that it can be addressed in the natural.
Yes. Yes. And I thank you for that, because that's going to be the only thing. And what's interesting is that you clearly call out that the church is not in this fight. What's interesting is that when you truly see this evil, you will know that you do not have the power to tear it down. Mm. But see, God says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Mm-mm. God's not looking for helpers, okay? He's the help giver, right? Mm. He's asking us to go out and be his hands and feet in a broken world, but mm-mm. He's going to be the deliverer, yeah. Right? Wow. And there are people who don't want to be in the position of, hey, God, the only way this is going to happen if you do it.
Mm-mm-mm.
And people need to have that humility before the Lord and be like, you are the maker of heaven and earth. You are the controller of all things. I'm going to get in line with you. I'm going to do what you're saying, and I'm going to wait for your deliverance. And I think that A lot of people don't have that theology. They're like, if I just have my 5 steps or my 10-step program, I'm going to show up to church, I'm going to do my thing, and it's casual. It's not an encounter with the living God, the King of creation, right? And so I think we need a little bit of a readjustment.
Look,
big readjustment.
Well, I mean, and this is the kind of stuff that gets me excited. I believe, though, Tara, that a great awakening is emerging. I do. I absolutely believe that there is a divine unsettling that is spreading like a wildfire that is not going to be quenched. I do. And I believe that it's getting stoked by people that just refuse to shut up. You're one of them. Praise the Lord. You know,
thank God.
Yeah. We need more people like you. And I'm one of them. I'm sitting here. I'm not going to stop talking about these people and these cults and these satanic organizations and all of the evil that happens at the highest. Like, I'm just going to talk about it. You know, you could shoot me. I think that Jesus will raise me from the dead if I'm not done with my assignment. I just believe I serve a bigger God than these evil people do. And that's the glory story. But I see a divine unsettling. Now
I do too.
Now, where do you see your path taking taking you? Like if someone said, okay, Tara, there's a different administration coming in, and we're actually committed to seeing a change in this crime against human rights. Like, as a child, you should have a right to not be trafficked.
Exactly. Yes. A right to not be raped.
Okay. But you're being forced into this, and it's government policy. Okay. How would you tweak some of the broken parts of the system to fix it? Have you thought about that? If you were given the chance, like if you were hired and they said, well, all these people flunked the test, can you pass? Can you create a system that does not produce easy access human trafficking of children?
Yes. So what's amazing, I wish I had my buddy Aaron Stevenson sitting right next to me from Department of Homeland Security, because yeah,
You give him my contact information, I'll have him on the show. Like,
I will do that.
I'll say that.
But yeah,
talk to me.
There definitely are ways. First, number one is find the children.
Wow.
Okay. It's unacceptable that the United States government in a 2-year period, in 2 years, lost 85,000 children. They will admit they have no idea where 85,000 children are. How is that possible when you're getting $6 billion a year? How is that possible? Number one, find the kids. So that is mission number one. Not let's ship kids to an unknown person in 10 to 14 days. No, mission is changing, friends. Mission is find the kids, number one. Number two is let's prosecute some criminals. Okay, we know some of these people are on the transnational organized crime watch list. How about we go get them? Because see, not only are they getting the children, they're also running networks here in the United States. We know where these people are. Why are we not reading about doors being kicked in of the people who FBI and other entities are getting notified that, hey, this person's sponsoring a kid? What? Why are we allowing high-level criminal actors to get kids and not go kick in the door and go pick up the criminal? So that would be number two. And then number three is to reimagine a new system where the sponsor is responsible. So we're not just sending kids off to anybody. There would be DNA testing. We are happy to reunite children with families. With families. Nobody in the United States has the right to just go steal a child from Guatemala, El Salvador, or anywhere else. Period. Children are not commodities, and we don't just buy them. Sorry. That's not a right. So one, we rescue children. Two, we prosecute criminals. And three, we create a new system that reunites children with family. Period. Yeah, could be done. Absolutely could be done in the name of Jesus.
That is incredible. And I'm thinking as you're talking about it, I'm being brought to a memory. Now, this actually, I can't give the details around the situation, but I did one time call the FBI. I actually did. I had an actual crime being committed. I had the statutes of the crime that defined it as a crime, and the people. And I said, "Let me call the FBI." You know what they did? They hung up on me. And that's when I realized, I said, I don't know that the FBI cares about what they don't care about. Like, and so I, and I talk, you talk to people that have pursued justice through law enforcement that don't have connections and don't have advocacy. It's not the best. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. And I will just say, as a follow-on, because I want to give a shout out to some really great FBI whistleblowers who all lost their jobs.
My.
Steve Friend is one, Garrett O'Boyle is one, Kyle Serafin, Marcus Allen. They've testified before Congress. But Steve Friend was actually working in Florida. In one of their field offices, he was working crimes against children, human trafficking, and he was taken off those cases to pursue other cases. There was nobody to fill the gap behind him. And he ultimately ended up getting fired because he's like, wait a minute, I should be working these cases, not these cases that are politically motivated. I want to be working saving children, stopping human trafficking. And he ultimately was ejected from his position as a special agent at the Federal Bureau of Investigations. So if anybody wanted to, look up Steve Friend or Garrett O'Boyle or Kyle Serafin, I mean, it's pretty amazing. There are some good law enforcement agents out there.
Yes.
However, when they stand
Yes.
for God, for righteousness, for justice, it's amazing how quickly these agencies can get rid of people. It's
Wow.
really sad. It's really sad.
So, I love the fact though that the reality is what you're describing is not an unsolvable problem.
Nope, not unsolvable.
It just requires people that want the problem solved.
Exactly. Yes.
Based on some of your observations, do you think that the people that are standing in the way of problems being solved are in position to experience a heart change under different leadership or different policy? Or do you think that some of these people literally just need to lose their jobs, get canned? Do you think they're and if we were to move, and this is like if statements, right? So I'm what ifing you right now. The reality of solving the problem, can it be solved with the existing people in place, or do you think, yeah, someone needs to come in and just start gutting agencies top to bottom?
Well, no one is beyond, right, the reach of God. So, I mean, we know that. So I think we need to definitely pray. For as we are commanded, right? Pray for our leaders, pray for those in authority, pray for those in government, because sometimes the tone at the top will cause people to behave in ways that they may not under duress.
Yes.
Now,
Wow.
that is not any excuse
Yes.
for the evil behavior that I have witnessed. And it's my opinion, we have a thing that's called suspension and debarment. Suspension, you can be suspended from your position, or you can actually be debarred from the federal government. They can debar contractors from ever working with the federal government again. Interestingly, a few of these organizations, Southwest Keys is one of those. They operate a lot in Texas, by the way, Southwest Keys. They were debarred for like a 2-year period because they were found sexually abusing the children, but it wasn't forever. And in my opinion, you do that one time, that's it. You're debarred. You can never have a federal contract again. You don't ever get to work around children again. So there are some people who need to be removed from their positions. People who were doing nefarious things should be removed. If you break the law, you should be removed. You should, it's called public service.
Wow.
We're giving our service to the federal government. We're not allowed to take advantage of. So yeah, I think people, you do the time, you commit the crime, you need to, sorry, you don't get to have your job anymore.
Well, and because you have such a front row seat to some of these things, and my questions are actually coming on the back of certain campaigning points by Vivek Ramaswamy. So this guy comes out and says some of the most radical things I've ever heard. Obviously, he's no longer in the running for president. That's gone. But he certainly made his name heard and his voice heard. And he said, look, I would shut down the FBI, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Department of Education. I mean, I'm like, bold move, man.
Yeah.
So I'm asking, like, you know, do you see the logic behind someone like him and his statements? But thank you for what you've said. I mean, I think it's very.
Yeah, well, fair. Ultimately, the states should have the control over what's happening. And see, that's the problem with this program, for example.
Yeah.
HHS as a federal agency is bypassing all state authority.
Wow.
So, for example, you're sitting in the state of Texas. The federal government is giving children to people in your state. We're not telling you who they are. And we're sending children to your state and we're not telling you who they are. So you can't even go and check to see, well, did the child show up at school? You can't even check. You have no idea. So, and then when you ask for the information, because you're getting reports that children are gone, the federal government stonewalls you, like, hey, just get your nose out of our business. So that's not how the government is supposed to be working. The federal government is not supposed to be usurping the power of the states, nor bypassing in secretive manner the state, so that it's endangering the population of the state and endangering the children that it's put there.
Wow.
So there are some serious problems. So I understand why certain politicians have certain positions.
Yep.
And I don't know what the answers are.
Sure.
I have some very good ideas about HHS. But as far as, you know, the other agencies, we'd have to see how that would all work out. There are great people in oversight community who would be able to have some good suggestions. Sometimes, though, the federal government just refuses to listen. And what is it? Pride goes before the fall.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
wow. You know, what you're saying about state governments is so accurate. You know, and I just thank God, you know, like him or hate him, our governor in Texas, I mean, he has been leading the fight in many ways against these border violations. I mean, he's trying, Governor Abbott. Obviously, he's up against an administration that is not in the fight with us. And our state is right there. I mean, like a lot of the border is just Texas, and that we're taking the brunt of these things. And if we had control, it would be different. If the state had control, it would look a whole lot different.
Yeah. And remember, the laws pretty much are the same. Yeah. It's how you're enforcing the law and how you're telling your people to enforce the law. And are you telling them everything that's at their disposal? So let's just take child trafficking, for example.
Okay.
A border agent is permitted to call the Department of Homeland Security investigations. So there's this elite group that investigates called HSI, Homeland Security Investigations. They are allowed to call HSI if they believe that a child is being trafficked. If the child tells them that they're being trafficked, they're allowed to call. But they don't know that. I've talked to agents. They're like, I've been reporting this for 4 years and nobody ever told me. I've been telling my, you know, my superiors that, oh my goodness, I think this is happening to this kid. And nobody's ever told me that I can call the duty agent.
Look.
Well, why is that? What would be the motivation for somebody not to tell their border agents what to do with kids who are being trafficked? These are just, it's laws are there. It's just, are they being enforced? There's laws against stealing. Are they being enforced? There's laws
HHS,
against murder, but
Health and Human Services. Okay, because you said this is a $6.4 billion operation, so there's a lot of money being made.
lots of money.
Okay, but federal salaries are largely regulated.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Now,
Contract.
contractors are not, right? So
Correct.
you get a federal, if you are a contractor, I mean, you could get $1 billion and pay yourself 900 million as long as you fulfill the contract. There's really very little accountability there. But where is, I guess, with HHS and that what you were looking at, the contractor, where who's making the money? That's because, I mean, I know that they weren't paying it to you to keep you quiet, right? You have
Correct.
a federal salary. So who's getting all this?
Right. It is contractors and NGOs. And Maddie Rowley at the Free Press, she's written a very, very recently, I think it just came out last month, but time is a little bit in a time warp with all the things. I know it's been within the last 60 days. She wrote an article about how all the NGOs were profiting, and she showed how the salaries are just gone way up under this administration. So instead of making like maybe the $250,000, suddenly they're making $600,000 and $900,000. The person, a person over an NGO, may be making that as their salary, $900,000 a month. I mean, a year, $900,000 annually. Yeah, that's a lot of money. No federal employee makes that amount of money. So very few federal employees make, I would say, even at the highest levels, they start to get capped around like 190. Not that that's, not that that's chump change. SES positions and stuff, they make a little bit more than that. There are some SESers who make pretty good salaries, but they're not making anything like you can in the private sector. I mean, my position in the private sector would be probably triple. But I've always been proud of serving the country until HHS.
So are you saying that HHS works with NGOs and contractors?
Yeah, and pays
That's
them.
so. Aha.
And sometimes pays their friends, or people leave, like in the case that has been discovered, that one of the transition employees, his name is Andrew Lorenzen Strait, he left the administration to go to one of the contractors' endeavors and then gives the largest contracts that have ever been given by HHS to Cherokee Federal. So he ends up, and he was caught undercover on tape saying, yeah, I got the contracts the Washington way. So he had a pretty good payday there for a little while, but it's illegal to do that. So yeah, he's in a bit of trouble. We'll see what
Ooh.
happens. Yeah. So sometimes there's the revolving doors, right? There's people will leave federal service and go get some incredible cushy job at one of the contractors. So that happened at the Pentagon, like one of the women who was working with Boeing. This is a long time ago, but found out, like, whoa, she's got her son-in-law and then somebody else working at the company. And then as soon as she leaves, she's giving contracts to the airline. And then as soon as she leaves her job, she goes to work for the airline. So, you can't be doing things like that.
But
Yeah.
it is happening and it all makes sense.
Money.
Like they say,
Yeah.
follow the money. Wow. Well, this has been fun and enlightening and awful all at the same time. I mean, what is happening to these children is heart-wrenching, Tara, and it needs to stop.
Yeah.
The world needs more people like you.
Well, more Christians just need to stand up for what
That's
they
right.
believe in and say, you know what? I'm going to deliver the truth, whatever the cost. as General Flynn would say. We have to be willing to deliver the truth, whatever the cost, right? That's what Jesus would do. He would tell the Pharisees to their face, you know, you guys are being like vipers right now. And sadly, that's what's going on. And we need people who are going to stand up. I have to say, I want to give a plug for your book. actually, I have several of your books.
Oh
and
goodness.
So I'm really glad I had the chance to meet you and find out that not only, you know, do you have a ministry, but you're also a writer. And I will say that it helps put things in perspective. You know, the church needs to stand up and pray. We can bring heaven down, right?
Wow.
Instead of all the people right now, there are a lot of people who are pulling hell up.
Wow.
And we need to be serious about calling on the God of angel armies who can give cover to these children. If, you know, Dan, there are times I wish I never knew. I wish I never knew some of the things that happened to these kids. I mean, I've heard grown men, Tom Homan, you know, who used to be on the border. He threw tears. It's like, if you knew what they did to 18-month-olds.
My gosh.
And some of the things that they do to children, you know, God says things like we never ask or imagine. And there are some terrible, terrible things that people do. And I don't want to go into it because it's trauma. It will cause people trauma. But we need to understand there are little lives right now in the hands of some very bad actors. If anybody has recently seen President Nayib Bukele of El Salvador, his interview, he did an interview with Tucker Carlson recently. And of course, you know, my husband from El Salvador, we had to sit down to hear what Bukele had to say. And it was very interesting. Within the first 10 minutes, he started talking about how MS-13 is a satanic organization and that they sacrifice children. Okay, this is the president of El Salvador who has conquered the gang problem in his country. And this is what he's saying, that the gang members are telling him that they do. So those people are not in El Salvador now unless they're in prison.
Yes.
Or they are here because they don't wish to be in prison. So they wish to continue their operation of using children to make money. And they are, because our brave whistleblower from DHS, Aaron Stevenson, pulled the receipts and said, look, here are gang members who are getting kids. MS-13, 18th Street Gang, Russian Balkan crime syndicates. This is a new and emerging threat under this administration who is not taking care of the children. We need warriors to stand up. We need people to pray for these children, for this to be exposed. We need to pray for our government, for leaders who will be bold, who will stand up, who will not listen to the pressure from their party. This is not a partisan issue. This is a spiritual issue. This is an issue of good and evil. This is not Republicans or Democrats or independents. And we need to bring this fight and give these, pray for our leaders to have the courage to stand up, because it's not going to be easy under this administration, but it can be done because God can do anything. So I just, Dan, I'm so thankful that I met you and that, you know, you gave me the privilege to talk to you and share with your listeners about, we need help. And
yes,
that help is coming from heaven or it's not coming. And so I would definitely appreciate your prayers for all the whistleblowers and for all the people who are trying to make a difference in this fight.
Amen. You know, and this is the thing. There's a front side. There's a front end of the battle, which is stopping the criminal activity at all. And then there's the backside, which is where we are at, which is, what do you do with the damage that has been done to an individual after they survive? That's our station, because we are sitting here contending for the healing journey of people that have been through the darkest of human rights violations in these cults and in these organizations and gangs and agencies and projects and so forth. It is, and it's awful the condition that people are left in order to survive an environment like that. And
some of these little girls who were little girls when they were released from our site, they now have their own children because of what's happened to them. And they need help.
I mean, and that's these gangs, they're not just violent people. They don't just punch people in the face. They have belief systems that are very, like you said, pulling hell up. I agree with that. Yes. They are opening and establishing demonic portals with their activities intentionally. And even like, you know, a lot of the people that I am talking to now, they're talking about these women that come out of trafficking that are actual sex workers. And so many of them have been through rituals involving demonic entities and bloodshed and all kinds of invocation of, and the damage that's been done is produced a level of mind control, right? And it's, the question is, what do we do? That's where we've been working heavy at. But this is like, you know, you're going to turn these children over to these groups. I am glad God is raising up an army to address the problem. So, Tara, this is, thank you. Thank you. Do you have any final words before we conclude?
Well, I just like to say thank you so much for shining a light on what we know is government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking. I mean, I think people, I really want them to let that sink in. Their federal dollars are doing this. And to pray is just, it. I and our team and would be so grateful for prayer. Prayer for us, but mainly prayer for the children and prayer for the traffickers, that they would come awake to what they're doing, that they would see that the evil they're doing and turn the children loose, you know, turn them over to a shelter or turn them over to law enforcement, but that somehow these children would be rescued. It's, we need prayer. They need prayer. So that would be my final thing, except to say, and to say thank you so much.
And what's the easiest way for people to find the documentary that was produced by America's Future featuring you and others?
So they could go to Rumble and put in Where Did the Children Go? Or they could see all of the resources if they go to americasfuture.net and click on, it's called Protect and Defend Our Children. So they can go to that and they'll see it's in the dropdown. Yeah. And it's Where Did the Children Go? So they can see exactly how it happens. And I would encourage them to watch Trafficked in America, because that they literally go back to Guatemala to interview the family as well. So it's a very interesting documentary, and it will show you that it's been going on for more than a decade. Yeah. More than a decade. Yeah. They get an F.
Wow. Well, friends, you've heard it from Tara Rodas. I'm going to go pray. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed. Amen. You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at danduvall.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.